Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better. Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
Wash your hands. Just wash your hands.
And Kate.
Yep. Wash your hands.
Welcome to Remote Med Crimes. And we're remote because Kate didn't wash her hands. That's why we're remote.
Excuse me. I washed my hands. Thank you very much. But these things do spread like wildfire if everybody else isn't washing their hands. So wash your hands. Can you tell that the norovirus ravaged my household this past weekend? Because that is why I am
pleading. She's on her soapbox. No pun intended.
I know it sounds, you know, kind of like, you know, whatever. But like, for real, though. God, that is a brutal, brutal illness. And for people that have like a shitty immune system for whatever reason, or people that are older or really, really, really young babies, like, for the love of God, please wash your hands, because that can get very dangerous very quickly in those situations. We love you all. Just be safe. Wash your hands. Protect your immunocompromised or elderly or too young family members. Please and thank you.
I was not planning on doing like a PSA announcement.
That was,
I think, eventually for season 4. So we're on episode 2 and we've yet to be in the pod lab together. So hopefully next time.
I mean, we just got to err on the side of caution and let things die in this household so I don't spread it to a whole nother household.
Die. Well, anyway. I remember years ago, this whole living on surface thing. My husband, my sister, and I had gone to a family member's house, and we had seen some of the members from the family like earlier on in that day. But going to their house for pizza, 36 hours later, the three of us were puking, and the other people did not go to the house but saw the family members, they were fine. So it's like, you as a person are no longer a carrier, but the germs living on that surface in the household. All three of us got it. Same timeline. Gnarly stuff.
And a lot of people don't realize this, but you can get reinfected, especially with norovirus. And if you're not diligent about swapping out your toothbrush, washing your linens, washing all those surfaces, using Lysol, making sure that you're using bleach and not just like an all-purpose cleaner, make sure you're using the right type of cleaner that will actually kill those bacteria and viruses that are super, super, super infectious. Just do your due diligence, please.
For those of you that were not expecting a infection prevention PSA.
You're welcome.
Sorry. You're welcome. Here we are.
No, just you're welcome.
Patronuses.
Oh my God. We love you guys so much. And a lot of them are like one name wonders. And I kind of love this.
One name wonder if I could.
So we have Laurel, one name wonder number one. That's a tongue twister.
Hi, Laurel.
Hi, Laurel. Thank you. We love you. Danielle, one name wonder, numero dos. Danielle. Yeah, baby.
Danielle.
And Miranda, one name wonder, numero tres. What language was I speaking? I don't remember. Thank you anyway. Oh, God, we love you guys. We also have Kayla Alvard. Hi, Kayla. You're fabulous.
Welcome, Kayla.
And last and finally, Erica Pasquier. Hopefully I'm saying that right, Erica. Kayla, Miranda, Danielle, Laurel, we love you. And I have
the
best.
Welcome to the family.
So you guys are getting these one of the spiciest creatures I think I've seen out in recent memory. This is the Lamatshu, and it's also known as the Mesopotamian Mother of Demons.
Oh dear!
Hold on. The Lamatshu is a hellish hybrid creature, usually depicted as a pregnant woman covered with thick hair and two skulls over her breasts, a snake's tail, large wings, three eyes, and taloned feet.
You guys can't see my face right now, but this is just gross.
It's pretty wild. And they are actually a pretty destructive creature, and they do some bad shit.
Two skulls over my breasts.
Are you sure? Because it sounds like it might be some kind of look for you. I feel like I just want to see that unfold. Anyways, it's a really kind of a scary creature that does some shit, but you know what? It's gnarly. It's like gory. It's kind of gross.
Like the norovirus.
Like the norovirus. And you know
great. What? You just gave them the norovirus.
You stop it right now. I did not. And you guys just have that. I just feel like you guys are spicy. And you just needed a real spicy critter. So there we are. Spicy critter for you.
Spicy, spicy.
Oh my God, guess what? We didn't even mention yet that this is a Devonism.
I was about to.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
But here we are with a Devonism. Kate and I have been toying around with this for a while, bringing this up. It is a story that we are revisiting. We did discuss this way back in season one. So when we revisited Charles Cullen, this person was also really kind of in the news, but we didn't want to just like do revisit after revisit, right? We wanted to spread them out a little bit. However, this person has been in the news a lot and still, I think, sparks some decent controversy. So Kate and I decided that we're going to do a little 2.0 with some updates.
What I really love about revisiting this right now is the amount of publicity and fans, like this big fan base that she mm-hmm. has built, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that she has really been through some stuff in life,
mm-hmm.
and she had an incredibly unfortunate childhood, and unfortunate isn't even the right word to describe it. But the fact that she has amassed, you know, this huge social media following and now a show on whatever network it is, TLC or whatever, you know, let's not forget the crime that she committed, which we're mm-hmm. going to discuss with the help of Devon. Mm-hmm.
So in case you haven't figured it out yet, we're going to discuss Gypsy Rose. In case you didn't look at the title on your Spotify when you clicked on it.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. I'm nestled in. Hold on. I got my warm blanket. All right.
We're going to tell the story, you know, pretty much from where it started, what it is, and what she's up to now. So lots of developments since we first talked about this 3 years ago. So we're going to talk about Gypsy Rose and Dee Dee Blanchard, mother and daughter. Dynamic duo. It was dynamic, all right. So Dee Dee Blanchard was Gypsy's mother. She was born in Claudine Pitra in Chack Bay, Louisiana, 1967. She was one of five children. And she was a child of Claude Anthony and Emma Lewis. Her relatives kind of said that Dee Dee kind of had a little bit of an interesting childhood. And her interesting childhood kind of brought out some behaviors in adulthood that were just like not quite right. And by not quite right, they were really mischievous. Family members would say that she had a habit of stealing from her family. They kind of thought that it was like a little bit of a retaliation if things didn't go her way as a young adult teenager. If like she didn't get her way, then she's just like, whoop.
Cool.
At some point, she spent 6 months in jail for writing bad checks. So she was obviously not developing into, I don't want to say an appropriate adult, but someone on the right path. You know, she's making questionable decisions in her younger years. Her family did kind of wonder if she had also at one point attempted to kill her own mother by not giving her food. This is kind of a behavior that kind of also goes into what might have been more pronounced when she ended up having Gypsy. So 24 years old, she had a boyfriend, Rod Blanchard, who's Gypsy's father. they ended up having their daughter Gypsy Rose, and they separated just prior to when Gypsy was born. So they were not together long. Gypsy was born on July 27th, 1991. She's described as a relatively healthy newborn. Soon after Gypsy was born, her mother started to kind of, in her mind, create medical illnesses and conditions that she proceeded to say that her daughter had. Right. It comes to be known later, you know, further on down the line, that essentially this illness is known as Munchausen symptom by proxy. Mm-hmm. Many of you probably do know what Munchausen syndrome by proxy is, but because we are a medical show, we're gonna dive into what it is. And that way it can kind of get into a little bit of, you know, you can start picking out some of the signs as I read these, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about the story, you can pick them out.
Yeah.
So Munchausen syndrome by proxy is a mental health disorder in which a caregiver, which often tends to be the mother, I won't say always, but often, routinely makes up fake symptoms or causes real symptoms in a child or adult victim to make it appear that the victim has a true physical or mental health issue. These actions are typically a result of a maladaptive disorder or excessive attention seeking by the caregiver. In addition to being a disorder, Munchausen syndrome by proxy is also considered a very serious form of child abuse. Munchausen syndrome and Munchausen syndrome by proxy are now classified as fictitious disorder imposed on another. This change represents the belief that this disorder describes a behavioral pattern rather than an underlying psychiatric syndrome. Although this disorder is rare, the mortality rate is concerning. Between 6 to 10% of all cases will result in death, which makes it a very lethal form of abuse. And a lot of the cases end up in death is because having there's so much medical trauma happening mm-hmm. to the victims of it mm-hmm. that, you know, they end up dying from complications of things that they might not have needed to have and yeah. and whatnot.
And then these caregivers, you know, sometimes are medical professionals. Actually, it's mm-hmm. common most common among medical professionals. And it's like these people are, you know, supposed to be very trustworthy mm-hmm. individuals, and it is often like the last thing that people suspect until things keep stacking together, and these people have a very methodical way often of
hiding. And at one point in her life Dee Dee was a nurse's aide, so she was exactly. she was in that mm-hmm. caregiver role.
Yes.
So in the caregiver, it's important to look for the following signs: deception. Caregivers' reports are different from that of the medical personnel. The caregiver has medical knowledge and may work in a medical setting. The caregiver has the desire to be seen as good at what they do. Mm-hmm. The caregiver routinely seeks approval and attention from the medical staff. Refusal of the caregiver to leave the victim's side when they're being assessed. Victim's medical history is spotty, vague, or inconsistent. Recommendations for invasive diagnostic and surgical procedures are accepted without question or concern by the caregiver. So, you know, these are obviously ones, you know, it's like sometimes they're coming up with the ideas, or they're pushing for certain diagnoses, or it's just like, okay, finally, you want to do something? Boop, no questions asked. Give me the paper. I'll sign it. We'll go through this procedure. Gypsy's medical history is very complex. So I kind of have, it's broken down in kind of a timeline of her medical illnesses a little bit throughout her life. But it's definitely complex. And I think even some stuff now has come out with some discrepancies. But, you know, we're kind of going with what we have. It kind of starts off with, by the time Gypsy was 3 months old, Dee Dee was convinced that her daughter had sleep apnea. She began to continuously take Gypsy to the hospital for repeated overnight stays. And she had a sleep monitor and other tests that found no sign of the condition. Dee Dee then subsequently became convinced that Gypsy had a wide range of other health issues, which she attributed to an unspecified chromosomal disorder. At some point, her mother claimed that Gypsy had muscular dystrophy and also made her use a walker.
Crazy.
When Gypsy was around 7 or 8, she was riding on her grandfather's motorcycle and they were involved in a very minor accident. She did suffer an abrasion to her knee, but for a motorcycle accident, that's pretty good. Her mother mm-hmm. stated that doctors had given her a wheelchair, which she would need to use. And at that point, Gypsy remained in the wheelchair until after her mother's death. So she started to use the wheelchair around 7 or 8, and it was after that vehicle accident when really she just had a minor injury to the skin. Gypsy often went to, because she was seen as someone with special needs, she went to Special Olympic events. In 2001, Dee Dee had claimed that Gypsy was 8. Gypsy later finds out she was 10 at this time. She was named the honorary queen of child-oriented parade, which was held during Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Around just after the second grade, it could have even possibly been earlier, but Gypsy's mother, Dee Dee, had taken her out of school, and she started homeschooling her after that. This was supposedly according to Dee Dee because her illnesses were so severe. So I think it's important to kind of note here, too. So like as Gypsy is starting to develop relationships, possibly with other friends, you know, her communication.
Yeah.
Dee Dee's just like, you know what? I'm going to pull you right back into the household. Yes. Less Absolutely. People that you can communicate when I'm not around. Right.
The better,
then right? the better.
Yep.
During when Gigi was about 10 to 12, they spent a lot of their time visiting different various medical specialists, mostly at Tulane Medical Center and the Children's Hospital of New Orleans. They were seeking treatment for the illnesses that Dee Dee had claimed Gypsy had suffered from that included hearing and vision issues. A muscle biopsy found no sign of the muscular dystrophy that Dee Dee had insisted that Gypsy had. She was successful in securing treatment for her daughter's other issues. After she told doctors that Gypsy had seizures every few months, they did prescribe anti-seizure medication. Several surgeries were performed on her during this time, and Dee Dee regularly took Gypsy to the emergency room for minor ailments.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, anti-seizure medicine. I mean, Kate, do you kind of want to like talk about what that could do to you?
Yeah. Anti-seizure meds, while they're super valuable when treating, you know, seizures and then, you know, a number of other ailments, are definitely not without risk. There's a lot of monitoring that comes along with the use of anti-seizure medications for that reason. If your drug levels get out of a therapeutic range, you can have toxicity reactions, which can affect your brain function, your heart rhythm, your electrolyte levels, all of your muscles. And it's just something that isn't, you know, taken lightly. And then additionally, a lot of them have a strong sedative effect, an effect on your moods, an effect on your cognition. So I'm not sure exactly what she was on, but I mean, if she was on some of the heavy hitting seizure medications, it's not, you know, it's not something that was pleasant for her. And it probably added a layer of debility to an already disabled young girl.
Absolutely.
So sad.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better. Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Around, well, not around, but in August of 2005 is when Hurricane Katrina happened. Right. We've done other episodes on that. Dee Dee claims that they were victims of the hurricane. She and Gypsy had left their ruined apartment and went to set up a shelter for individuals with special needs. They didn't go to set it up. They went to one where it was already set up.
Okay.
The way 2005 during this hurricane is kind of like what also like helped Dee Dee's favor and not so much Gypsy's, mm-hmm. because all her medical records were apparently reportedly gone, including her birth certificate, and everything had been destroyed in the flooding.
Yeah.
How convenient, right? So a physician had suggested that they relocate to Missouri, and then that's then they were airlifted there the next month.
Okay.
That's where Dee Dee was originally from. Was Missouri. So that's why they kind of recommended, they had no place to live. They were in a shelter. So it was kind of like, this is maybe where you should go. At first, they lived in a rented home. Gypsy was honored by the Olay Foundation, which advocates for the rights of feeding tube recipients, and was their Child of the Year in 2007. 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with a wheelchair ramp and hot tub as part of a larger project on the north side of Springfield, and they moved there. The story of a single mother with a severely disabled daughter forced to flee Katrina's devastation received considerable local media attention, and the community often pitched in to help them. This was like the thing, you know, throughout all of this time, they had gotten, and I'll kind of get to this in the next minute, but they had gotten a lot of media attention.
Yes.
Dee Dee was very good at getting Gypsy front and center.
In the limelight, always in the limelight.
Yes, always mm-hmm. in the limelight. And whether she was in the limelight, you know, she started initially in the limelight with doctors, right? Needing all of this sort of medical attention.
Right. Yes.
But now all of those claims are really kind of getting into public attention. And since losing everything in the flooding in their home and having to relocate, they're using that headline to kind of get more attention.
Yep.
Which we'll connect to when we get to recent events. There was many charitable contributions that came from all the outpouring of support that they had. They had gotten themselves occasional stays at Ronald McDonald houses during medical appointments. Missouri, mm-hmm. they received free flights to see doctors at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, free trips to Walt Disney World, backstage passes to concerts. She was frequently photographed with some of the singers, all sponsored by the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
The saddest part is that all of this stuff that amounts, you know, through her lifetime, the amount of gifts that she received from the community, from organizations, from this, that, and the other thing, that amounted to probably thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of
mm-hmm.
stuff. And mm-hmm. all of that is stuff that could have gone to children who
actually needed it or warranted it.
She was disabled, not by choice, not like she was disabled because her mother was creating that entire facade. Correct. And making her sicker. And she was in fact sick. But the fact that there are kids that have organic chronic illnesses and maybe even are terminal that could have benefited from the Make-A-Wish gifts, from the flights, from the gifts from the community, from the fundraising. And mm-hmm. it all went to this woman, essentially, who is just deteriorating her own child's health. That's like
correct.
Such a heartbreaking part of all of this.
From this point, you know, really, there is no like blame on Gypsy. That she is definitely the victim from all of that.
Right?
You know what I mean? Yeah, she's definitely the victim from all of that. And really, it's all her mother, you know, where we're talking about the morality of like what she could have taken, you know, and the things that she could have taken from other children who could have benefited from those things. That's totally all on Dee Dee, you know, and that and that deception.
Mm-hmm.
Gypsy's father, he did not see her often. They were, you know, they were not together right around the time that she was born. He did send monthly child support payments. He did send her gifts, occasionally talked to her on the phone, and saw her pretty rarely. He had hoped to get to visit them regularly, but for a bunch of different reasons, Dee Dee would change plans. You know, if he would have a visit set up, she was just like, something's come up. Dee Dee had told her neighbors and community where they were living that Gypsy Rose's father was an abusive drug addict and alcoholic and who never came to terms with his daughter's health issues and never sent them any money. There's always two sides to every story, right?
And true. Yeah, we don't
you know so yeah. Back in the day, we don't exactly know what happened, but we do know that now Gypsy's father is a huge part of her life. And, you know, is trying to essentially make up for lost time because he says he doesn't know what was going on during her childhood.
Right.
So as stated, you know, she came off very charming, a very charming disabled child. She was only barely 5 feet tall, very small, very skinny, had a lot of missing teeth. You know, her smile looked very, you know, decayed. Yeah. Large glasses, high childlike voice. And it reinforced the perception that she had all of these problems that her mother said that she did.
Mm-hmm.
She often wore wigs or hats to cover up her balding head. Her mother regularly shaved her head to mimic the hairless appearance of a chemotherapy patient. So again, Gypsy did not have cancer. However, her mother was making that appear that way to the outside world.
Really just disgusting. And like the pathology here, I mean, she knew what she was doing to this girl and she knew what the outcome was going to be. So she understood the ramifications of what she was doing. And it just is so hard. Ugh, I still cannot wrap my head around that pathology. I can't reconcile all of that. Just
when Gypsy would often question her mother, you know, like, why do we have to shave my head? And well, so Dee Dee would explain to Gypsy that since her medication would eventually cause her to have her hair fall out, it was just best to just shave it right away. Let's just get it done.
Sure.
When they would go to leave the house, Dee Dee often took an oxygen tank and a feeding tube with them, and Gypsy was fed the children's liquid nutritional supplement Pediasure well into her 20s. All by a G-tube. So, you know, again, she didn't really need it. But by having all of this equipment and Gypsy's ailing appearance to her, you know, really kind of just fed into this really is a child who needs all of this outpouring of love and support from the community. And
yes,
she needed it for sure, but in a different way, not for, you know, medical reasons. There was a point in time Dee Dee would start to control Gypsy with physical abuse. You know, she's receiving physical abuse in all of these medical ways, but you know, as often do, we know, number one, I mean, children ask all sorts of questions and they like to push all sorts of things. And I'm sure Gypsy had a lot of questions about why she had to do certain, why do I have to be in this wheelchair? I can walk.
She's getting into her 20s. She's starting to, you know, get that, like that mind, that, you know, critical thinking of like, wait a minute, I can walk. Like, I can literally stand on my own two legs and walk. What is going on?
Yeah, well, and we'll get there. So what her mother would do is, so she would always be sure that she was holding Dee Dee's hand when they were in presence of others. That sense of control. I'm holding your hand. I've got you. Whenever Gypsy might have said something that either suggested she was not genuinely sick or seemed above her supposed mental capabilities, Dee Dee would give her a very tight squeeze. When the two were alone, Dee Dee would strike her with her open hands or a coat hanger.
Oh my God, that is
so,
so sad. Jesus.
Throughout the years, the medical interventions continued on. Dee Dee had some of Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox. Then her glands were extracted altogether to help control some drooling.
That was from the medications, right? Some medications.
Yes, some of the medications she was taking. Yeah. Gypsy also later claimed that her mother had induced some of these by using a topical anesthetic to numb her gums before doctor visits.
Oh my God.
So the lack of the salivary glands, along with side effects from some of her medications, This really caused Gypsy's teeth to decay to the point of the majority of her teeth were extracted and replaced by a bridge. And you can see that in her smile, you know. So for sure. She also had tubes implanted in her ears to control her supposed ear infections. Again, a pretty common procedure for children, however, wasn't necessary.
No. And none of this is without risk. I mean, like, such considerable risk. And that's why a lot of these victims of infectious disorder imposed on another end up dying, is because people hide it very well. The caregivers hide it very well. The kids or the victims always almost look the part because of how chronically abused they are. Chronic medical abuse.
And how dependent they are upon their caregiver.
Physically dependent they are. And oftentimes they're brainwashed and they're like, you know, kind of have no real capacity of reality because this caregiver just has such a crazy control over them.
So throughout listening to it and everything, you often like wonder, like, when do the doctors start catching on? Right. Yeah. Like, when do the doctors just start questioning things like your tests are coming back negative? Why are we, you know, still treating? Or Bernardo Flasterstein. Love that name, by the way.
Wow. OK, Bernardo.
A pediatric neurologist who had seen Gypsy. He became suspicious of the muscular dystrophy diagnosis.
Yeah.
He had ordered MRIs and blood tests and found no abnormalities. And he clearly stated, "I don't see any reason why she doesn't walk." He told Dee Dee on a follow-up visit after seeing Gypsy stand and support her own weight. He noted that Dee Dee was not a good historian. So after contacting Gypsy's doctors in New Orleans, he learned that the original muscle biopsy had come back negative. Whoa. So this undermined Dee Dee's self-reported diagnosis of the muscular dystrophy, as well as her claim that all her medical records have been destroyed by flooding. I mean, at this point, there was some that was obviously electronic, or the hospital still had them. Exactly.
Something was available.
So he did suspect the possibility of Munchausen syndrome by proxy, and Dee Dee demanded to gain access to all of the Flasterstein's notes, and she did end up subsequently stop taking Gypsy to see him. So this doctor was catching on, and she's like, nope.
Time for somebody else. Literally, that's like how it works. And you wonder, like, well, she sees all these doctors. Somebody else must have caught. And it's like, when somebody comes in who's chronically ill and they say, I have this, 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 and this, and they look the part, and the kid's in a wheelchair and is...
And you're thinking, who would put their kid in a wheelchair if they didn't need to be, right? You know, like...
That is absolutely cuckoo nuts bananas for anyone to do that. And so it's typically the furthest thing from anybody's mind. And it's that's what makes this disorder so scary and so terrifying, because it happens. It's a thing that happens. And it's, as a clinician, you know, you often trust the caregiver, the parent, to have that good history and to have that good knowledge about the person that they're caring for. And so to question, like, who am I to question that, you know, this person has been formally diagnosed with muscular dystrophy, even if I don't have the records available with me, like, okay, you know, it's not out of the realm of ordinary whatsoever that this got missed for so long.
And I think too, I'm sure, you know, 20 years later, right, you know, like, it's probably way protocols have changed and whatnot. No question should this be reported. Like, they've stopped coming to be, but no question, you know, we're going to report this. However, he did not. At the time, he did not report it. And so he had been told by other doctors to treat the pair with golden gloves and doubted that the authorities would believe him anyway. In 2009, an anonymous caller told the police about Dee Dee's use of different names and birth dates for herself and her daughter, and suggested that Gypsy was in better health than she claimed. There was a wellness check that came out from that. And they accepted Dee Dee's explanation that she used the misinformation to make it harder for her abusive ex-husband to find her and Gypsy. And they never talked to the ex-husband either, the ex-boyfriend, and reported that Gypsy seemed to be genuinely mentally handicapped. And then the file was closed. So he didn't report it. There was a report made anonymously, but they just, they believe Dee Dee. They see Gypsy, you know, looking like how she does, ailing. That was around 2009.
It seems so recent for I don't know. That seems like a missed opportunity for, you know, number one, the neurologist not reporting it. It's a huge shame that that didn't happen. And then, you know, the police not really doing their due diligence in that scenario.
Along as we kind of touch base upon, along with doctors questioning, right, in certain rumors coming out on the validity of Gypsy's ailments, Gypsy is getting older, like we've already said, asking questions, and she starts getting growing independence here. So it looked as though Dee Dee did have, at one point in time, forged a copy of her daughter's birth certificate, which moved her birthday to 1995. And this was to help bolster her claims that she was still a teenager.
Yes.
Gypsy said later in a later interview that for 15 years, she didn't know how old she really was.
Stop. Can you imagine not even knowing how old you are? Not even being sure.
Right.
What year was I born? How old am I?
It was sometimes claimed that the original had been destroyed in the Katrina flooding. Dee Dee did keep another copy of Gypsy's actual birthday, and she recalls seeing it during one of their hospital visits and becoming confused, and Dee Dee told her it was just a misprint.
Good old Dee Dee.
Since 2001, so since Gypsy was a young girl, her and her mother throughout the years had been attending a lot of science fiction and fantasy conventions. This was like something that they did with each other, like a hobby of theirs. They would often go in costume, and it really kind of like went along with Gypsy's childlike personality, right? Very young princess fairy tale. She would go in her wheelchair. In 2011, she had made her first attempt to try to get away from her mother as she was growing that independence. She had tried to escape during an event, but her mother ended up finding her in a hotel room with a man that she had met online. Again, Dee Dee produced the paperwork giving Gypsy's false younger birth date and threatened to inform the police. Dee Dee does recall that afterward, Dee Dee had smashed her computer with a hammer and threatened to do the same to her fingers if she ever tried to escape again. This is hard. She also, after this point, kept Gypsy leashed and handcuffed to her bed for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
So essentially, you know, Gypsy had gotten access to a computer, made a fake profile, as many young, curious teenagers do, right? Your first access to the World Wide Web.
Oh, yeah.
And she believed that her Prince Charming was out there somewhere.
Of course.
And so she had met her Prince Charming at this fantasy convention. They had arranged this, you know, beforehand, all under the nose of Dee Dee, and had gone off to a hotel with this man. And so Dee Dee did later tell Gypsy that she had filed paperwork with the police after this event, claiming that Gypsy was mentally incompetent. Which also then led to Gypsy to believe that if she was attempted to go to the police for help, they would not believe her. So as Gypsy's trying to find her voice, she's trying to find her voice and gain that and really start casting doubt in her mother. Her mother's kind of unraveling, right? Her mom is unraveling. So she's trying to do whatever she can. She's making Gypsy fear the police, that they're not going to help you. You know, they've claimed that you're incompetent, that you don't know what you're doing. I've got it on record that they say that, you know, you're not capable of making your own decisions.
It's such a sad story.
So a year later, Gypsy continued to use the internet after her mother had gone to bed to avoid her tightened supervision. This is where she makes initial online contact with Nicholas Godejohn, a man around her age, and he was from Big Bend, Wisconsin. He did have some issues of his own, a criminal record for indecent exposure and a history of mental illness. Sometimes it was reported as dissociative identity disorder, and he also had Asperger syndrome.
Oh, wow.
Gypsy also during this time confided in a neighbor who she was very close with, considered her neighbor, feeling like a big sister, that she confided to say that her and Nicholas Godejohn had discussed eloping and had even chosen names for potential children. Gypsy and Nicholas had flirted online, and the neighbor tried to talk her out of this relationship, really thinking that Gypsy was too young and possibly being taken advantage by a sexual predator. And really, thank you know, for her, I mean, Gypsy didn't listen, but she's trying to be, if I'm your big sister, this doesn't sound right, Gypsy, you know. Yeah. And her neighbor did not know that her ailments were fake, right? So she's really worried for her. So she had considered Gypsy's plans just fantasies and dreams, and nothing like this would ever really take place. And so despite Dee Dee's efforts to prevent her from using the internet, which went as far as destroying her phone and her laptop, Gypsy continued to make contact with Godejean. And this went on for a while. So over the next year, Gypsy had arranged and paid for Godejean to meet her mother in Springfield. Her plan was for him to just bump into her while she and Dee Dee were at a movie theater. Both of them in costume and apparently strike up a relationship that way. Then for her to introduce him to her mother. So again, she was trying to like create the scene of like this magical introduction, that it was just like a love at first sight. Here's my Prince Charming. And then she was just like, as soon, you know, my mother's just going to love you. But that did not happen. Her mother shut it down. She was like, no way. Who are you? You're a creep. You're an old man talking to my daughter. You know, you're an older guy talking to my daughter. But when they did meet in person, Godejean did lead Gypsy alone into the bathroom, and they did have sexual relations for the first time. And because the introduction did not go well with Dee Dee's mother, this is where they kind of started to developing a plan. We want to be together.
We're not going to be.
Your mother's getting in the way. Your mother's getting in the way. What are we going to do? And so this is where the plan to kill Dee Dee kind of started coming into play.
The sad part is, like, if that neurologist had reported something, and they were able to like trace back all her medical records, and it came out that, you know, she doesn't actually have these issues, and maybe this is a case of Munchausen or factitious disorder. That really could have, like, this could, none of this could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gypsy could have never gone to jail. Dee Dee might still be alive.
Three lives could have been changed. Nicholas, Dee Dee, and Gypsy. Yeah.
And who knows, you know, Gypsy as the, you know, young woman she is now, and Dee Dee might have been, after she got the treatment that she needed, could have, you know, had a relationship and had a, you know, who knows? It just could have been such a different story altogether.
Yes. So Nicholas returned to Springfield in June of 2015. He arrived while Gypsy and her mother were away at a doctor's appointment. Coincidentally, at a doctor's appointment, another one. After Dee Dee had gone to sleep, Nicholas goes to their house. Gypsy let him in. She allegedly gave him duct tape, gloves, and knife with the understanding that he would use it to murder her mother.
She gave him those
supplies. Yeah.
Understanding what he was going to do. Yes.
During the murder, Gypsy hid in the bathroom and covered her ears so she would not have to hear her mother scream. Nicholas then stabbed Dee Dee 17 times in her back while she was asleep. The two then had sex in Gypsy's room and took $4,000 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house. They fled to a motel just outside the city where they stayed for a few days while planning their next move.
Wow.
They mailed the murder weapon back to Nicholas Godejean's home in Wisconsin to avoid being caught with it, and then took a bus there. So that was kind of their plan of like, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Several witnesses did see the pair on their way to the bus station, but they did note that Gypsy wore a blonde wig and walked unassisted, so they had no idea that it was her. Right. So.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better. Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all in one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
So what kind of caught on to it was a concerning Facebook post. Kind of while they're at the home in Wisconsin, while they're at Nicholas's home in Wisconsin and Dee Dee staying there, they just kind of decided to go on Facebook and, you know, kind of a little bit, I don't want to say startup drama, but just like, you know, Gypsy did start to feel, I think, a little bit remorse for her mother. She's sitting in the house dead. Who's going to find her? You know, who's going to know that I'm missing? So this kind of started to bring attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Facebook status said, "That bitch is dead. I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her sweet, innocent daughter."
Oh, her my God.
Her scream was so fucking loud. LOL. And this was posted from Dee Dee's Facebook account.
Wow.
Dee Dee's friends grew concerned, and when phone calls went unanswered, several of them went to the house. While they knew that the two of them had often left on medical trips unannounced, they saw that Dee Dee's car was still in the driveway. So they're like, okay, well, that's not true. The protective film on the windows made it hard to see inside in the low light, and Dee Dee had protective film on the house because, you know, it was kind of after the child protective social worker came that time, and it was just like, I don't want people seeing what's going on in here. I don't want, if Gypsy happens to stand up and walk around, someone catch a glimpse of it. Nobody answered the door. 911 was called. They had to wait for a search warrant to be issued before they could enter, but they did allow a neighbor to climb through one of the windows before that happened, and that's when they saw that inside the house was largely undisturbed and that all of Gypsy's wheelchairs were still present. When the warrant was issued, police entered the house and soon found Dee Dee's body, and a GoFundMe account was set up to pay for her funeral expenses and potentially Gypsy's, because at this point they didn't know if Gypsy was alive or dead. Everyone who knew them was fearing the worst because they know Gypsy as this ailing girl who can't walk, who can't do anything for herself. So they're thinking her mother's dead. Where is she? And is she safe, or is she dead as well?
Right.
Even if she had not been harmed, they believe she would be helpless without her wheelchair, medications, and support equipment like the oxygen tanks and feeding tube. The neighbor, the young girl that was that Gypsy confided in, had known about that secret online boyfriend.
Ooh.
So the IP address from which the Facebook post to Dee Dee's account had been made turned out to be in Big Bend, Wisconsin. The next day, police agencies raided the Goda John's home, and both he and Gypsy surrendered and were taken into custody and charged with first-degree murder. The news that Gypsy was safe was greeted with relief back in the Springfield. They were very happy to hear that she was alive. Gypsy and Goda John were then arraigned and held on $1 million bond. And they kind of titled the press footage as "Things are not always what they appear." And then that's when you see video footage of Gypsy walking into the courtroom. And for many people, that was the first sign of seeing her walk.
That was the
And they're like, what do you mean? That's... Like, what are you talking about?
Yes,
that's when it's just like an outcry in the whole neighborhood. Anybody who had given anything to them, they're like, what is going on? So Aaliyah, the neighbor, the quote unquote big sister of a neighbor, you know, this information helped lead the police to where they were. She cried out in disbelief upon hearing that Gypsy had never been sick or disabled. Her mother recalled how everyone had accepted Dee Dee's claims without asking for proof and wondered if the mother and daughter had been secretly laughing at their neighbor's naivety. One of the neighbors, Kim Blanchard, had called the deputy sheriffs to the house the night before, said, "What have I been believing? How could I have been so stupid?" And a spokesman for Habitat for Humanity, whose volunteers had built their house, they said we were just really deeply saddened by the whole situation.
It's heartbreaking.
I mean, it's heartbreaking for a lot of the people who gave their resources to them. Like you said earlier, could those resources gone to other people?
Exactly.
After the disclosure of how Dee Dee had treated Gypsy for all those years, sympathy for her as the victim of a violent murder rapidly shifted to her daughter as a long-term victim of child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
While the charge of first-degree murder can carry the death penalty in Missouri law or life without parole, the county prosecutor soon announced he would not seek it for Gypsy or Nicholas Godejohn, calling the case extraordinary and unusual, which I don't think anyone can disagree with.
Absolutely.
So they obtained her medical records from Louisiana, and they were able to see her whole history of everything that she had gone through. And they got a plea bargain for second-degree murder for Gypsy. So Gypsy was so undernourished that during the year she was in county jail, just in the county jail before going to prison, she had gained 14 pounds.
Yeah.
Most people lose weight in that type of situation.
Yes.
And so in July of 2015, she accepted the plea bargain agreement and was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So this was for second degree murder, you know, because they really felt like for her, they're like, you know, we can't pursue first degree life, you know, the life, not after everything you've been through. Like, we can't condone murder.
Right.
But we can't send you to jail for the rest of your life when you've been living in one.
And if the story is really that she did not physically kill her mother, it's interesting that she got the second degree murder charge and not like the conspiracy.
Right. Part.
You know what I mean? Conspiracy to commit murder.
So Nicholas Godejohn still faced the most severe charge because prosecutors contended that he initiated the murder plot, and both he and Gypsy agreed that he was the one who actually killed Dee Dee, you said.
Yeah.
So after 4 days of trial, it went to the jury. The jurors had the option of finding him not guilty or guilty of one or three murder charges: involuntary manslaughter, second degree, or first degree murder. They deliberated for only 2 hours, and then they returned with the verdict, and he was found guilty of first-degree murder and armed criminal action. In February of 2019, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murder conviction, the only possible option since prosecutors had declined to seek the death penalty. Nicholas had asked the judge for leniency on the armed criminal action charge, which carries a minimum sentence of only 3 years, saying that he had fallen blindly in love with Gypsy. He received a sentence of 25 years on that charge, which is concurrent with the life sentence.
Concurrent. Okay.
And we ended episode one, Gypsy Rose 1.0, with me stating that Gypsy was eligible for parole in 2023.
Right. Here we are.
Here we are in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So Gypsy was released from prison on parole in December 28th, 2023. So just over 13 months ago. Since her release from prison, Gypsy has created, at times, quite the social media frenzy.
Oh my God, it's all I was hearing about for the longest time.
And I have a timeline for a brief summary of her first year in prison. But I think with each of these comes some conversation.
For sure.
Because this girl, I think before we can get into it, nobody can doubt, again, what she had gone through, right? Nobody can state that, okay, I get it. You were traumatized. You were abused as a child. You went through this thing. We're not condoning murder. I would think no one knows what they would do when they're in that situation, right?
Right.
But one of the things Gypsy kind of keeps claiming in her interviews that she does is that she just wants to live a quiet, normal life. And honestly, if you contributed to the murder of your own mother, and you've served your time, you did your time, you followed along, you're out on parole, you know, you were granted leniency given the unusual circumstances around it, I do think you deserve the right to go live a quiet, normal life.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But she's not really making any effort.
Some of the stuff that she's doing, though.
Normal. By any means.
I mean,
To be fair. Yes, she was heavily traumatized as a child, and I think that a lot of her actions when she got out, her actions went, you know, before she even went in with this relationship and the chaos of this relationship and the plans for murder and the Facebook posts and all of the really chaotic, you know, crazy things that she did, like when you're abused as a child in any way, shape, or form, your development, your like cognitive development,
yes,
your development just stops. Mm-hmm. It just stops. So
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what we're seeing and like the chaos of her life that is captivating the nation and like all the personal stuff.
She's the teenager she never got to be.
Exactly.
Is what I see.
That's exactly right. She is somebody who just never had those experiences as a child. And she is like now finally just starting to actually grow as a human being and yep. and go through all of that.
Which is fine. And unfortunately for her, too, she's doing it in the public eye where she's got a lot of criticism. We all know social media ain't nice, you know, so she's released from the Missouri prison and she's released to her husband, Ryan Anderson. And a lot of people are like, what husband? Well, yeah. Gypsy got married in prison.
Sure did.
July of 22. While she had met Ryan, he had come to visit her, written letters. They, you know, he had heard about her case. You know, there's a lot of, even before she was out of prison, there was a lot of media around her case, television shows, documentaries, you know, about it. And so she created a fan base while still behind bars. And so that's how she met her husband, Ryan.
And the D is fire.
So there. I mean. I think, yep.
According to Gypsy, the D is fire.
According to Gypsy. So here they are. She's out. So here they are off to live their new life. You know, she's got, I think, 18 months of parole ahead of her, but mm-hmm. they're ready to live the new life. It's about a week. January 5th, she gives her first media appearance with Good Morning America. And then it's also on that same day that the first episode of her series comes out, Prison's Confessions of Gypsy Rose Blanchard. So that was filmed as she's getting ready to like leave prison. So she's still in jail. And it kind of talks a lot about her relationships. And Ryan's not the only one she had a relationship with prison. She'd had a couple, one we'll get to very shortly. And you know, so that same time she's been out a week, like what a well-timed, like the girl's out a week later, let's do the documentary, get that out there. But so she's going to, I think she was going to New York City, having to get like special treatment from her, not treatment, but like permission from her parole officers.
Right. Yeah.
And she traveled for these interviews and whatnot. This is when she create, you know, so within that week, she's creating her social media accounts, her Instagram, her TikToks, and getting her name out there. Those first few months was all pretty much social media and regular media frenzy, just telling her story, multiple interviews, multiple different avenues of, you know, Good Morning America, this, that, podcasts, you know, just telling her story. Everyone asking her, like, what was your first meal when you got out? What's it feel like? How's the, you know, which is fine, right? It, you know, it's a high profile case. Then you expect it kind of to die down to live that normal life, mm-hmm. but things just keep rolling. So in March, because no one saw this coming, March 29th, Gypsy and her husband Ryan separate. So this was a big deal because I think during this time, she's still in the media. Her show hadn't started yet. So she's got a second show. Her document is out about, you know, how they got married and all that stuff in the prison confessions. But she kind of said, at this point, I have a quote here from one of her interviews that she had said, I think it was to People magazine, after splitting up with Ryan. Quote was, I have the support of my family and friends to help guide me through this. I am learning to listen to my heart. Right now, I need time to let myself find myself and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfectly appropriate, right? Sure. The girl never lived through teenagehood
in a manner.
She got married in prison. Was that the best choice? Probably not. Probably not. I'm sure there was a few people that were like, Must you? But that's the choice that she made. And now she's out, ready to live her life, you know, and then realizing maybe this was not the best thing to do. I think everyone can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
However, so that was March 29th of 2024. And she's saying, I need to find out who I am. Let myself be myself. The next month, oh, guess what? She's got matching tattoos with her ex-fiance, Ken, and she announces that they are dating. Now, Ken is her ex-fiance prior to Ryan, but he had dumped her while she was in prison.
Right.
And she's heartbroken over this and yada, yada, yada. They were together, I think, for a couple of years. And then you don't really see it like in her show that later on comes down that I'll mention shortly. You can see all the drama unfold of what was really happening during those months. But
people love this stuff. They love it.
So now, and then the next month, so now she's got her newfound freedom. She's now with a new boyfriend. And the next month, she's undergoing her rhinoplasty. She's often with her nose. She had a very large bump, interesting shape. You know, that she's had that all throughout her childhood that was part of her interesting appearance, right? Yeah. Again, can't blame her. Like, I want to get rid of this big honker. Like, can't blame her. She's getting her teeth fixed, which I would too, right? Yeah. Can't blame her for any of that appearance stuff.
For all of the appearances and all of the media stuff she's doing, she's got the means to do it, and she's finally making her own medical decision.
And I think that's part of finding out who you are on your own is also like, what do I want to look like? What do
I have a little control over yourself for once. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she didn't get to do simple things of like playing with makeup or like, you know, all those things. What do I want to look like when we're teenagers? And for her, it does just happen to be a drastic, we're going to go right to this, but hey, that I'm not upset about that one. June is when her reality show Life After Lockup premieres. And this is where you can, this is where things like got even more stormier, because you're seeing the ins and outs of her relationship with her husband, Ryan, when she first gets out of prison. You're seeing, you know, the decisions she's making, the conversations she's having, but also the thrilling stuff of now I'm out of prison. What do these French fries taste like? You know, like, and some of that part's fun to see because, again, she lived a very sheltered childhood.
She did.
But throughout the series, I mean, I'm not going to lie, your girl watched it. Did you watch it, Kate?
Because no, I
did.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like watching a train wreck happening, a little bit. So, especially as the ex-fiance starts coming into the picture, then it's just like, what am I watching here?
Yep.
But anyway, it was good TV because got a lot of ratings. And then next month, guess what? So we, you know, and it's, we're starting to find out like the timeline didn't match up, like all those things quickly ended with Ryan, then back to Ken. And so you get to see the dynamics of some of that. But then, so that was in June. The very next month, July 9th, Ken and Gypsy announced that she is pregnant. Dun, dun, dun. This is, of course, by the way, again, timeline. This is, of course, when, like, in the episode, she's having, like, conversations with her sister about unprotected sex with her husband. And could she be pregnant right now? And, like, all of the, like, those episodes are coming out. And she now announces her pregnancy with Ken. So because of this, there was so much speculation. Oh, I think there is even still speculation of who's the baby daddy. Like, do I think it's Ken's? Yeah, I do. And I'm pretty sure they've put out proof. I mean, this is like an episode of Maury here or something.
Yeah,
but
like,
I'm pretty sure she did get a paternity test to and then like she leaked it to like state like, hey. Do I think that it was as cut and dry as done with Ryan on to Ken? Like,
no.
And with no crossings in the middle? No. I think there was totally some things in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And then December 28th of 2024. Ooh. Now, mind you, December 28th of 2023 is when Gypsy is released from prison. Exactly. One year later to the day, Gypsy and Ken, I want to say Gypsy and Ken have, Gypsy gives birth and Ken was there to their daughter, Aurora. The girl has gone through a lot in 1 year.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of speculations around this, too.
All of a sudden, she's a mom.
The girl's a mom, which.
Yikes.
I mean, she's been given the world's greatest gift.
Is she equipped to handle this right now?
Because no one can blame her for this, as we're seeing, she is acting like a teenager, which no one blames her for, right? Sure. Because she never got those experiences and her development You have to go through those phases to get to your maturity. So essentially, she's almost like a 16-year-old mom. I mean, is that inappropriate to say? That's almost like what she's like, right? Which is never always the greatest thing. So I will say that I hope the best for
me too.
Gypsy and her daughter and for Ken. You never want any ill will in anybody. But there's so much, like, you can go down a rabbit hole if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
And some days I have. And some days I'm like, meh. So there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there that Gypsy had also released a book in the last couple of months. I think it's called My Time to Stand. And one of the interesting things is there's so much inconsistencies with her book and in her interviews about some of her ailments and where her scars are. And like, so some of you wonder, again, I don't want to sound victim shaming and whatnot, because that's not the case. I fully believe her childhood was the way it was. But in her adulthood, how much of it is being embellished?
Well, right. Yeah.
For a story. I think she grew up in a childhood where she was so used to media attention and free gifts and all these like entitlements almost because of a disability. And I think she's using her time out of prison, in my opinion. She's still doing that.
Yeah.
She's still using, now she's using her story as a way to get all of those things.
I completely agree. And you let's not forget, like, with all of the flashiness and all of, like, the theatricals and the showmanship around, like, what her life is like now. And, you know, everyone loves the drama and, you know, loves soaking up all those little, like, details about her life on the outside. That at some point, some asshole leaked her mom's crime scene photos.
Oh my gosh, right? Yes, at some point. Oh man.
Google. It's something I came across when I was going down a rabbit hole about what was going on with Gypsy because it interests me, and this was, you know, a year ago or so. And
we host a show called Med Crimes, so, you know, that happens.
And we had been following the case, and there were updates, and I, you know, I came across it, and it's, you know, they're out there if you're, you know, they're out there if you're curious. I don't encourage you to Google them because, I mean, I think that the fact that they're out there is pretty shameful.
Bad enough, yeah.
A lot of them. But this was a brutal, brutal crime.
Correct.
And Gypsy knew exactly what she was doing. Mm-hmm. She knew exactly what the ramifications were of her crime. If her story is correct, she provided all of the means for this man to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just not forget that that is a choice that she
and
made.
I think that's something that she's going to have a tough conversation about years down the road with her daughter.
With
right?
her child.
I don't know how you will.
How do you navigate that?
Correct.
How does one navigate
that?
With a child.
Because she also won't be able to shield her from the internet forever.
No. I mean, this before you know it, this child is going to be a part of this whole theatrical show. And, you know, things will die down eventually. They always do. People have their moments in the sun. And then things, unless you're the Kardashians, things eventually blow over. And, you know, but she will always have that. You know, her child will always have that knowledge and that piece of her mom to carry with her, which is kind of sucks for the kid.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, Gypsy has said that she wants to shield her daughter from the media, which I commend, and I hope she sticks to. That child is definitely got a lens on her before she even knows what a lens is.
For sure.
There's going to be so many people trying to get pictures of her. And, you know, years down the line, she's going to be like, Mommy, why is there a cameraman in the bushes or whatever? You know, I don't think cameras will be following her forever. However, once in a while, she's going to be in that crowd and someone's going to say, hey, Aurora, how do you feel about your mother killing your grandmother? You know, and that's something that's going to follow her forever.
Yes.
And so I do hope that Gypsy keeps to that as far as like wanting to shield her face and who she, you know, and that identity to herself. But, you know, in the way her development is right now in her mind and what she appears to be, Who knows? Because
exactly,
she's definitely exactly. kind of acting like an influencer a little bit. And I think she tried to go down the activist route. I don't know where that ended, you know, as far as active, you know, trying to be an activist for victims of Munchausen by proxy and whatnot. You know,
that would be a really admirable thing to do with a platform like this. Like, now that you've done this terrible thing in your life and you really are a rehabilitated person and are trying to do some good in the world, then, you know, use your platform and be an activist, lobby for change, and, you know, donate some of what you have to those who are truly, truly, truly in need. You know, all of those things. If we see that, like, maybe there was some personal growth. And I know that there's a big lens on her right now because a lot of people want to see the train wreck. They want right. to see the train wreck. They want to see something go down in flames. They want to see drama and they want to see, you know,
people. I'm guilty of looking at all the drama and watching the show and going, what the hell am I watching? But at the root of who I am, I want nothing but the best for her because of what she's gone through.
Really?
I want her to have a good relationship with her child and be able yeah. to have something that she didn't have with her mother.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I do think she kind of needs to go quietly.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And just live that quiet, normal life.
If that's really what she wants, then I want that for her and for her family, for her daughter. I want her child to not be under a microscope.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh,
I'm with you.
My heart's broken now, so thanks for that.
Wow, I didn't mean to do that.
Well, you did, so.
I hope you guys enjoyed the Gypsy Rose Blanchard 2.0.
That was so well done. What a great summarization and refresher. And it, you know, you're just nailing it. You're just killing it over here. I love you.
Shucks.
You really are.
Oh, shucks.
Mm-hmm.
With that, thanks for listening, everyone. You can continue to find us by searching for us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
YouTube, Med Crimes Podcast.
You can search for us on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, one of our single named lovely ladies, or a, you know, traditional double named princess or prince, that's totally fine too. You can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast.
I just realized that we never announced like our TikTok page, and considering that that's still around, but who knows for how much longer.
We put things up there sometimes. It's cute.
Sometimes.
Yep.
But you can email us your crazy stories, anything that you want to share with us, be a part of season 4's break room banter at the end of the season, or just say hi.
Hi.
At medcrimes@gmail.com.
Stay safe out there and wash your hands. Damn.
Damn it. Wash your hands.
Soap. Oikos presents 15 seconds of strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat.
Mm.
Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day.
Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Oikos presents 15 seconds of strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat.
Mm.
Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day.
Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Oikos presents 15 seconds of strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat.
Mm.
Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day.
Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Oikos presents 15 seconds of strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day.
Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day.
Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day.
Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day.
Oikos, stronger makes everything better.